Guys, welcome back to Strength 101, the podcast where we break down fitness and nutrition into its simplest forms so that you can get the results that you want. Last time we had DJ Bush on the podcast and we went deep into mindset, motivation. If you didn't see that one, you got to click back. You got to listen to that one. Very inspirational. And it was such a great podcast that we decided to bring back for a second time. Yep. Welcome back, Deej.
What's up?
What's new? It's been a week.
It's been a week.
New haircut.
New haircut, new me. We're ready to go. But hey, if you didn't see the last one, go check it out right now.
New you. No man steps in the same river twice, right? Because it's not the same river and he is not the same man, even if it's a week later.
I think it's just a new day every day. And I'm like, yep, new day. Here we go. New me. Let's get it.
Have you ever seen that clip? I think it's of Ed Mylett. You know who that is?
No.
He's kind of like entrepreneur, motivational guy. But a lot of people make fun of this clip because he goes, you guys have one day per day. My day has 3 days in it.
Oh,
6
yeah.
a.m. to noon. That's one day for
me. That's one day.
He's like,
yep.
I've just manipulated time. I get three days in one day. And so I always see these people like, well, I have a one day every single minute. It's just ridiculous. he probably was like, man, I'm a genius. This is going to make me so big.
I thought you were saying like Edna from The Incredibles. I was like, I've never heard Edna say
no
this.
No capes. All right, Deej, so last time we talked about motivation, inspiration, how you get the positive mindset that you get, and I think people should go back and listen to that for sure. But today I really want to talk about your journey as a coach and how you became a coach, because for context, when you got hired here at Strength Academy, it's been a little over a year now, correct?
Yep.
What were you doing before that?
I was working at a cheese curd factory I was there for 3 years, and I was like, if I don't leave this place, I'm going to hate myself for it. Like I was that deep into this place sucks. I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. It was the same manual labor over and over. But like for context, I didn't go to school for this. I literally just went, hey, guys, I hope you pick me because I feel like I'd rock this stuff. And so I literally came in, not really huge expectations. I applied at Anytime Fitness before this. And I was like, man, if I got stuck sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, I'd probably want to rip my hair out. So I was like, all right, I'm
pretty glad.
Makes sense
knowing you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a tough decision for me, honestly, when we were interviewing at the time, because I really liked your energy and you have this growth mindset that obviously we covered in the last podcast. And you were so excited about skill acquisition. I often do this as kind of a test with people when we hire them. I talk to them about the skills that they could grow. And if they're excited about it, that's a really good sign. And maybe it's somebody I want to hire. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get excited about it, then I can tell that they're just there for a paycheck or a job. And I don't want to hang out with those people.
Yeah.
But I was still so back and forth because you almost had too much energy. You were like out of control energy. We always described you as a golden retriever of a human being when you first started.
Oh, yeah.
But now I'm super glad that we chose you. But with starting with no experience, no formal schooling on exercise science, and I think a lot of people think that people have to know a lot to become a coach. Yeah. Were you intimidated at all starting the job not knowing?
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, what is my foundation looking at stuff on social media of like some bodybuilder stuff? And it's like not everything on the internet is true either. So I couldn't really tell if what I was listening to was really true or not. And so I think like the fact that I was like, okay, I'm going to go to this place. They're going to give me a set amount of skills. Either way, if I just get better at training, I'm going to have infinitely better time, one, working out, but two, working. Because I'm just like, I know I love to work out. I love the feeling of, okay, I feel like I did something for the day. The endorphins are high. And it's just like, I don't know. There's nothing like it where I'm like, okay, that simulates the same feeling as deadlifting 500 pounds. Like, it's just not like, I don't think there's really much out there where it's like, yeah, I get that adrenaline feeling from it. And I was like, working out, yep, I get it. And I was just like, I want to help people along the way as well. It's not all about me. It's like, I'm happy to impact the community that we have here. And that was the coolest aspect. Like, as soon as I gained my confidence, it was so much better, but it was like at the beginning, I didn't have that confidence. Oh, how long do you think I shadowed for?
I don't even remember, man. I mean, like last year has been like a whirlwind for me, but I think we kept you shadowing for quite a while just because.
Like 2 months or so. And like, I was just absorbing it and it was like, I was kind of leading classes, but people would still like kind of go over to the other coach that was with me shadowing. And I was like, it just wasn't this feeling that it was mine and it was like my class. All right, you guys are going to come here. I'll instruct you. I'll lead the way. It was like kind of, all right, yeah, this new guy's kind of doing his thing. I'm going to ask the actual coach. And so.
Yeah, I think at the beginning, maybe your energy actually worked against you when it came to trust with the members, just because you were so energetic and so happy that they probably almost saw it as an immaturity in a way. And I actually often over the first few months, I wondered which way you were going to end up going, because I would see these glimpses of you really catching on and really enjoying the learning portion of it. And then there was also these glimpses of just like sporadic high energy.
Yeah.
And, but now you've gotten such a good handle on it and you have so much trust with the members. Yep. So where was a lot of your education? You mentioned TikTok and stuff, right? Where is a lot of your education coming from? Is there anybody specifically that you were learning a lot from, or a website, or?
I learned a little bit of, from Mike Mentzer. I kind of dug a little deep into it. I was like,
you should describe who Mike Mentzer is. I bet almost nobody knows what that name is.
Mike Mentzer, Olympic or Olympian?
I think he was a professional bodybuilder, I believe. Okay. Now, I don't know the full history either. Yep. All I know is that his clips of him doing physique and muscle growth research have come out like crazy on the internet now. Yeah. And I had never heard of him until probably the last couple of years.
Yeah. So he's this bodybuilder, but I think it was just his concept of training was so interesting to me. It was like, okay, you're going to perform this set, but it's going to be like close to about 95% of your max. Like you're going to go for 8 reps. Okay. You're going to hold it at the top. You're going to hold that for about 3 seconds. Then you're going to come down slow and controlled every single time. And it's like, I don't know. It was such a weird concept of training where it was like, oh, I don't need to go 5 times a week. Really, I just need like 3 days a week of really heavy training and you're going to stack on muscle mass. That was like kind of the concept about it. But I just found it so interesting that I kind of like dug deep into it for a little bit. I never tried it, but I was like, wow, this is really interesting.
Well, I would say that it makes sense, though. I think that, and maybe you were naturally like this anyways. I don't know if like in high school and stuff when you were working out that you were really gung-ho about going high intensity.
Yeah.
But Mike Mentzer he's high intensity, high recovery. You don't need to train 5-6 times a week. Train 3 times. Every single set is to a maximum until failure.
Yeah.
Every single workout, you're really pushing yourself pretty much to the max, and then take 24 at least, but more like 48 hours, if not more, sometimes 72 hours to really fully recover so that you can perform highly again. Yeah. And I don't think he's wrong. When you first started coaching, your first test workout you threw up, right?
Well, that was for context, my first day to come in for an interview. Yeah. That was it. That was my interview. It was like, all right, you're going to take this class. I'm going to be honest. I didn't do any research on the place. I was just like, I'm just trying to get a job right now. And so I came in. I was just like, all right, I guess I'm working out. And I was completely fine with it. It was a dynamic strength day. And for those of you that don't know, it's a HIIT cardio circuit. And I don't do cardio. That rocked my world. I was like, I was outside with a trash can throughout the see-through window puking. And then right after that, we went into the interview. And you're like, are you okay?
I think Tara, my wife, was in the class with you, right?
Yep.
Because I asked how it went. And she complimented you on the fact that you took a garbage can with you and you cleaned up your mess afterwards.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I guess that's a sign to people, even if you are in an embarrassing situation or you throw up right before a job interview, if you go about it the right way, somehow people still take something positive away from it.
Yeah. I was just like, all right, yeah. But like, I've just always pushed myself. I don't know if it was like military-wise or I feel like even... Well, I wouldn't say before that because I wasn't like really working out like that. But when I was like outside of high school, then got into like working out on my own at Anytime Fitness, I would go like I learned how to go to failure. I was like, okay, I'm going to do my bench press. I did my like 4 sets, but then every single time I just drop set. And I would like literally be on the bar just going to failure. And I was like, this is only 45 pounds. And then I was like lifting up to like 165 was kind of like my set of like 8. or so, and that was like a hard set. And so it's just interesting how, like, now I've come to where I am, and it's just like, I think it was literally the last podcast I went and deadlifted 500 pounds, and I was just like, yep, that's
yeah. And how much do you weigh?
I weigh 181 right now, so I was that's a
big deadlift, man.
That's a pretty decent deadlift for.
You're just getting started.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
how old are you again?
23,
500 pound deadlift at 181.
Feeling pretty good about it.
It's impressive, dude.
yeah.
That's awesome. So I think that high intensity. That's Mike Mentzer's right about that. And we preach that in these classes too. Mm-hmm. It makes sense how much muscle mass you've been able to stack on over the last year that I've known you. And I'm sure you were stacking on before that. But I'd say for people that are listening, if you're trying to put on muscle mass, that is the way to do it. It's high intensity and high recovery. You don't need to train a ton. If you train three times a week and you go in with the mentality that every single set needs to be taken in close to failure, then you're going to grow. And mm-hmm. I think too many people go out there and they hit a set of 10 when they could have done 15, and they think they're working hard and they're putting in 75% of the work and they just need to push it that extra little amount to actually get the results, but they just don't see anything change for so long because they just can't get that concept that it has to be that intense to truly make a change.
That's where, like, yes, weightlifting, I feel like, you can go off of how you like feel, but I feel like once you go into like a deeper dive of, oh my God, like I need to kind of fortify my mind. Otherwise, like if you're not in it mentally, if you're just like kind of there to move, like you're not going to stack on the muscle that you want. Mm-hmm. If you're there and you're like, okay, you know what? It might be dicey, but let's just try and go up anyway. Like, I love just harping on the members about, guys, like, try something you haven't tried before. Because people always, like, have this concept of, oh, I've always done yellows, or, like, I've always done 25s for whatever lift. I'm just going to pick up that same weight again. Yeah. Whereas I'm like, challenge that. Pick up just a slighter, heavier weight. And I think it all kind of comes to progressive overload, where it's like, okay, maybe you are at the same weight, get in just a few more reps than you did the time before. Or, okay, you know what? Now you've gotten to like 12 reps at that weight. Now just go up in weight and then take the reps down. And then it's going to be a little bit weirder stimulus, but hopefully you take it a little bit farther to failure. And I feel like for me, it was just like preaching failure. Like that's how you grow muscle. It's not going to be, oh, yeah, I'm picking up that same weight I was before. If you want to get stronger, you have to pick up heavier weights. And I always love the idea of like, if I want to be a clean person, I have to consistently clean every day. If I want to be a strong person, I have to consistently lift, but it also has to be a little bit heavier than you did the time before. Or if you want to be clean, you got to clean a little bit more than you did before.
Yeah.
If you want to be like the ultimate
if you just pick up the floor, your room will get kind of clean, but if you want to progress in your cleanliness, then it's like, this time I got to pick up the floor and I got to vacuum. Yep. And then next time I'm going to pick up the floor, vacuum, and scrub the surfaces.
It's just like stacking. Yeah. It's just habit stacking, pretty much.
No different. Yeah. So when you first started, we hired three people at the same time as you. You were one of three. And I told you guys that likely only one of you was going to have a full-time position. Clearly, you were the winner.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. One guy only lasted 2 weeks, unfortunately. But you really, I saw you take to that. That was the first time that we'd done that here. I wasn't necessarily a big fan of the competitive hiring environment, but it really was great for a while when you guys were, when we would do a coach's education, you guys were so locked in because you knew that everybody was going to have a job here.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is it, what I was intrigued by is how you are clearly a competitive person, but you also have this positivity, don't be too hard on yourself, happy-go-lucky mentality. Mm. How do you balance those two things?
Well, that's like probably one of the trickier things in life that not many people learn, but I feel like I'm around the mindset of...
You're a sage 22-year-old man.
I don't know. I feel like I'm an old soul at heart. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like I've learned a lot more than the regular 23-year-old, where I'm like, okay, I have to be able to like reinforce myself positively, but also have that edge of I need to push myself. And I think it's about accepting where you're at, being grateful for like, hey, you know what? I've made it this far and not many people do. Like, I got to give myself props for that. And then also you have to be eager to be like, oh, let's challenge that. Let's go a little bit further than we did the time before. And like, I had an era where it was like, okay, I'm going 5-6 times a week to the gym because I'm just so pissed off at myself. I feel weak. Oh, wait, maybe I should just rest a little bit and then I'd be fine. But like, I was just like training to failure all the time. And then I'd get done with an exercise and I'd like feel not fulfilled yet. And then I was just like, where is this all really coming from? And I feel like part of it was self-confidence too. It was just like, I'm not confident in myself yet. I need to be able to push higher and higher numbers. And it was like, I don't know, it's this chasing that you're, it's not going to end. So you have to be able to be like, okay, I may not have been able to get there today, but reassess, did I really put forth 100% effort? I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, I didn't make it. Well, you only gave it like 75%. Like how much were you in it mentally? Were you having a bad day that day? Or are you stressed out? Like, life gets to you too. It's not like workouts are the like most important thing in the world. Like, you need to be able to take care of yourself, but also like realize, hey, you know what? Maybe I have been skipping the gym a little bit, and like, you got to get back on that train. Cause I love the idea of like, if you're like consistently in the habit of something, as soon as you like miss one day, it's going to be super easy to miss it again the next day.
Totally.
But you have to get quick to going back to it. Otherwise, that habit's going to fall off.
We say that with the body composition program when people are starting to track their food. And we tell them all the time, you're going to fall off course at some point. That's inevitable. Mm-hmm. You should accept that right now. But what's going to define your success and your results is how quickly you get back on track after you fall off track. It's the people that get off track and then they spend a week, a month, a year there and never get back on that are screwed. And it's the people, I fall off track of my habits all the time.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, you'll hear people say, they set a rule for themselves that maybe they never take more than 2 days off. Like, you know, they only allow themselves 2 days off of the gym and then they have to get back in. And I think that's that same mentality. It's like, allow yourself to rest, allow yourself to take mental breaks. There's even going to be times where maybe for a whole season of your life, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months, you're showing up to the gym and you're not there fully. You're just going through the motions. We see this with some members.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people that first start at the gym, especially if it's their first time really getting good results, they'll lose a ton of weight. Their strength is skyrocketing. Then they kind of hit that plateau, that harder gains phase. And then you can see that fire in their eyes die out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And luckily, most of them have ingrained that habit so well that they don't fall off and they keep going. And inevitably, we see them light that fire again.
Yeah.
But I think it's often dictated by how they set goals. It's if your goal was to lose a bunch of weight and to get stronger, now you have to reset a new goal. Maybe it's just one thing to focus on. So at least gives you something to drive towards and also get feedback from that you're getting better. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, it helps that this is my job. I mean, that's a little bit easier avenue into it. But I mean, in the perspective of I come in here, like I'd say I work out probably at least 4, maybe 5 on like I'm going hardcore this week. Like that's about how many times I work out. But every single workout, I'm giving it about 110%. Yeah. And like, I just don't think that, I think it's the mindset of, if I don't give it 100%, I'll never really know what my true potential is. And so every single time, whatever it is I do, I feel like I have to do it 100%. Otherwise, it's like, you have that what if.
Yeah.
What if I didn't, or what if I stuck with it? What if I gave it just a little bit more? And it's like, those are the type of questions that get me going where it's like, I don't know. I think I had a quote up on the board the other day and it was like, what if you win? What if you actually like did the work 100% every time consistently? And it's not going to be, it may not be like the gigantic win you're thinking of. Maybe it's just, hey, I went to the gym today. That's a win. And like, literally, it's the smallest thing in the world, but I feel like in today's day and age, you could go home, you could just turn on Netflix and sit on your butt all day as compared to, hey, you know what? even though it's been a stressful day, it's been long. I had a 10-hour shift. I'm still going to go back to the gym later today just because I know it's going to get me moving. I'm going to feel better after it. And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like for me, the gym has become a safe place where it's like, oh, there's hard work involved here. I know there's going to be long-term gratification. That's the hard part, is even the people that do lose weight and get stronger, they stop. And then you see that person that kept going and you're like, God, I want to be them. I wish I could just stay with it. Well, you got to set a new goal. You got to keep going forward. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the same place. Yes, you went hard for 3 months on your diet, on your exercise. But then if you stop and then you take months on months on months apart from going to the gym, eating healthy again, like, yes, you're going to go back to the same place you started. And I don't know. I feel like I've fueled myself enough to be like, I'm going to be mad at myself if I get fat. Like,
yeah, sure.
I'm just like, I know that's...
Yeah, you've set your standard at that point now where it's... I think Tony Robbins always says we only fall to the level of our standards and we don't fall below that. And so kind of the game is, how can I raise my standard over time? You know, the person that's been at this point, you know, I've been training since I was 14 or 15 years old. And for me to, just like you said, like, I'm probably not going to let myself get past a certain point just because the standard has been set higher over years and years of lifting. But I'm reminded by when you're saying that about setting new goals and making sure you don't get off track. I did a physique show back in, oh my God, I don't know, this is like 2015 or something, a long time ago now, like 10 years ago that I did my first physique show. And there was so much focus put into it and so much buildup to it. And then I won my weight class or whatever. And so it was this big, like, awesome moment that all the hard work paid off and all the doubts were, like, you know, slayed. And then that was on a Saturday. And then that Monday, I'm driving to work and I was just working at an organic dairy. I'm driving to work and I started just crying on my way to work. I had never, I don't think before that I had ever really felt depressed before. And it made so little sense to me because I had just had all these great things happen and I was so freaking sad. And at the time, I mean, I don't even know how old I would have been then. I was 24, 25 or something. And I just didn't know what was going on with my emotions. I called my dad because I'm like, you know, if I don't know what I'm feeling, I'm going to call my dad and see if he's felt it before. So I called him and he talked me through it. But the realization I came to was just that it was, I had climbed this peak and I had all this focus and all this drive to achieve something. And even though I had achieved it, now there was this valley of despair afterwards where I didn't have any direction. And it was almost like, well, what do I do next? Was such a depressing feeling that it broke me down emotionally. And it didn't last very long. But what I needed somebody to tell me was, well, you just need a new goal and a new project now. So do you have any specific goals and projects that you're working on now?
Well, I mean, work wise, yes, but like individually as a person, I genuinely don't even have a goal when I come into workout. I just think, I'm like, hey, I'm going to give it 100%. And like, I think what you're talking about too is like, I feel like people go so heavy into their goals where it's like, okay, as soon as you finally get to the top and you win, there's this like sense of identity attached to that, to where it's like, oh, now that that's over,
who am I?
What do I do? Like you lose this direction and it's just like, okay, you need to regroup for a second, like handle whatever emotions are coming your way, but like you need to be able to like bounce back and be like, okay, what's next? Like you need to be able to name, hey, I'm gonna go this direction next. Otherwise, it's just not really like, you're just going to be stuck in that funk for a while. And it's like, people will like try and help you out of it. But like, truly, you're the only person that's going to be able to say, hey, I'm going to start going this direction instead. And so to like, I guess, answer your question, for me, I think it's just the way I look at life. It's just like, I woke up today, my checkbox is done. Like, that's all I really needed to feel pretty fulfilled for the day. And I'm like, I'm going to go and get my workout. But like,
so it kind of sounds like by not setting a major goal that you're telling yourself you have to achieve, you're avoiding the peaks and valleys.
Yes.
And almost choosing to be consistent in a way.
It's literally just this gradual upwards where sometimes it is good to just not set a goal, because it's like goal setting a lot of the times leads to like, oh my God, I'm not getting there. It's a lot of negative stuff that comes with that. And I think I realized that somewhere along the way where I was like, this just is not going to work for me. And now, like, I think deadlifting is kind of my big goal just because we have that competition coming up. And it's like one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I'm going hard on this. And so,
well, what's interesting about goal setting too is that when you do set a goal and you say, this is really important to me, then every time that you take a step towards that goal, you get like a dopamine hit. It's like natural cocaine, right? That's your reward. And so especially with something like, let's take that physique show example that I was on that train. It was like, I got a dopamine hit when I woke up in the morning and I weighed myself, because it was like I was doing the thing that was going to lead to it. And then when I ate the right foods that were on my plan, and when I went to the gym, I got a dopamine hit. And if I got the right sleep, I got, and then all of a sudden, all those things that had context to it, it was like a dopamine drought after that.
Yeah.
And that's what like depression is, right? It's like a dopamine drought. And you have to kind of give yourself that again.
And then it's just like, then it's like, all right, we got to regroup, find that new thing that you want to work towards. And like, for me, it's just like, at this point, I'm just like, all right, yeah, I'm going to lift heavier than I did before. But like, I just have this idea of, oh, I'm just coming in for a workout today.
Yeah. Like, that's so interesting. I think me and you kind of operate very differently on that. I'm lost without a goal. Yep. And it sounds like you're thriving without some defined goals. And I bet there are people that kind of fit into both those camps.
Yeah, it's really dependent on who you are. Like, it's not going to be the best thing for everyone. But, like, I can tell for me, it's like I had this huge drop-off. It was like I was trying to go for a 225 bench. And if I didn't hit it, I was pissed at myself.
Sure.
I was just pissed. And I was like, wait, I'm like, I'm what taking am I so the mad baby about? Steps to get there, and I'm mad because I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And like, in the end, it's all about enjoy the process. Like, if you come in and you pick your favorite exercises to lift, you can thrive off of that. You can literally do that all you want. I mean, yes, I'd recommend switching up your exercises, but like, sometimes it's just, okay, I'm coming in today, I'm in a funk, I'm just going to do my favorite stuff and call it a day.
And, like, and maybe that speaks to probably expectations a lot, because if you, I can't remember what the phrase is, but it's like, you know, the different, like, your happiness is the difference between reality and expectations. Mm-hmm. And so if your expectations are high and your reality is not at that level, then you're depressed or you're sad or you're just comparing it to it. And vice versa, if your reality is so much better than you were expecting, then you just feel like you got a gift, right? Every day is a gift for DJ, right? and so sometimes I feel that way. If I am doing the things that I think I should do in the gym, maybe I don't enjoy those workouts as much, especially if they're not goal specific.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you just need to come in and do what you enjoy, like you said. And then the expectation is just to feel good.
Yeah.
And then as long as you feel a little bit better, then you check that box and you're happy.
Yeah.
And so, there's definitely something there. I want to pivot though real quick.
Yep.
So, because I want to give some context to people who might want to become trainers.
Yeah.
Your journey of going from zero experience to a year in, and now you're a respected coach with a big knowledge base, and we're always still learning.
Yeah.
But what advice do you have for somebody who might be sitting in your situation where they're like, I like the gym, I enjoy working out, I think I want to get into coaching, but I'm not sure, and I'm also nervous. I remember I got out with my master's in exercise science, and I was still terrified to become a personal trainer, didn't feel as though I was qualified because I thought they just must know a bunch of things that I don't.
Yeah.
So what's your advice to people who are feeling like that?
Well, I definitely start out with, like, I think for me, even though it may not have seemed like it from the outside perspective, when I first came here, I was nervous. I was like, oh my God, I don't even know if
I think I could tell
if I'll get this job. But I was just like, I don't know. It was a lot different once I was sat in front of a group of 20 some people, probably a little bit less, but it was like, oh, these people are, one, older than me, so how do I really build an authoritative state for them to actually listen to what I'm saying?
And scream kind of at them.
But it was just like, I needed to learn kind of how to operate around people that are older than me and get into a social flow, because I feel like before I even started here, it was like, okay, I go out in public. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not talking to a stranger. I'm in my own lane. I'm going and doing what I'm doing. And it was pretty much no one else exists. And it was just like, you can't do that when you mm-hmm. have to coach. It's like, you are going to have to learn how to talk to strangers. You're going to have to learn, hey, like, you're going to have to learn how to correct people that think they know more than you sometimes. And it may be a clash, and you have to either know your stuff, or you have to be like, hey, like, I'm not really too sure on this, but I will try and learn my best so that I can give you the feedback later. And so I think for me, it was building the confidence of getting into that social flow, but then also just not being afraid to mess up. Because I messed up yeah. quite a bit when I first started. I was like, yeah, do it this way. And when now I know, like, okay,
well, there's no other way yeah. to learn, right?
No, no.
Mistakes are the only way that it actually ingrains in your head the yeah. right way to do it. This is why I kind of, I, even though I went to a ton of college, I don't think that colleges teach coaching very well. They might teach theory of exercise science really well, but yeah. coaching is only done by actually coaching, because you don't know how to coach until you've given somebody a cue, and you only have that one cue in your pocket, and you yeah. think it's going to fix everybody, and then you do it and it doesn't work,
and
they don't
look
understand
at you blankly.
Yes. And you say it five times and you yeah. didn't change anything, and they still don't
core tight.
And then you're like,
core
crap
tight.
I've got to change. Yeah, core tight. Yeah.
How do I activate my core?
Yeah.
I don't even know what a core is. But yeah, I think when you're first starting out, it's really like there are going to be mistakes along the road. And I love to think of it as a fail. What is a fail? Your first attempt in learning. You have to be able to be a beginner all the time. That's the hardest part about life, is people are like, oh, I may have gotten laid off of my job of 25 years of being there. Now they have this like crisis of like, I don't know anything else, and now I have to be a beginner somewhere else. And it's like, it's this scary feeling.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like really nervous about it, but it's like, okay, in reality, you're going to go there. You're going to mess up. It's not going to be that big of a deal. You're going to move on. You're going to learn, and then you're going to become better after it.
Yep.
It's like, okay, like chill out. You're okay. Get your emotions in check. When I feel like a lot of people are like, it's just so frantic and so scared, when it's like, really, someone's going to look at you with a blank face like, I don't know what you're talking about, and they're
yeah.
going to move on. Like, they won't even think about it later, so, like, it's whatever.
So what do you think are the good skill sets for people to focus on? Let's say somebody does get their first coaching job, and maybe they don't have – we obviously have a lot of direction around here, and we coach you up.
Yeah.
I don't think most systems have that much help for their
no.
new trainers. So a lot of people are, if they start at one of these big box franchise places, they're yeah. probably not going to get a ton of direction. How can they self-direct themselves to learn as fast as possible?
Well, I think for me, what helped the most was learn how to speak. If you can speak well with confidence and with sort of a like instructor type of feel to it, where it's like, hey, I'm going to give you these directions and like you should follow them. You should be able to have the confidence, the knowledge to back it up. So one, work on how you speak, but then two, work on the knowledge portion. How can you find,
how do you work on how you speak? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to take
smart.
It bit by bit.
Yeah. Well, I think for us, what we did was, all right, we're going to jack up this music as loud as we possibly can. How can you speak over it with an authoritative kind of feel to it, but also like not like a drill instructor, hey, do this or else
yeah.
type of feel, you know? And I think that's a hard kind of mix to understand and really get out of. But it's like, okay, if you're trying to make 20 plus people that are already chatting and like having their own conversations, how do you stop them in a way that doesn't feel like you're just a douche? And like, two, how
but
do you
gently?
Yeah. How do you gently say, hey, be quiet? Like I think a lot of people struggle with that, especially with people my age, where it's like, I don't know. I was scared when I first like was teaching the 9 a.m. and they are so chatty. They love to chat. I'm not riping on you guys, but you guys don't like to listen as much as the other groups. But it's just like, I don't know,
yeah.
how do you actually get people's attention? How can you be that authoritative person in class? How do you have the knowledge mm-hmm. to back it up? And I think for me, learning the knowledge portion was kind of the hardest part. And I think you have to do the movements. You have to work out as well, because there's nothing else like actually feeling the exercise, mm-hmm. feeling what the other people you're coaching are feeling, and then being able to give your perspective on it. Like, I think that's the biggest
thing. So massive. That's the thing, is you can come in and pretend you have all this knowledge that you learned on Instagram or in books or any of this stuff, but people's sense for bullshit is pretty high. Yeah. And so what you can do, if you're a new trainer and you want to have authority, even though you might not have a high knowledge base, is just simply tell them what you have felt or what has worked for you. Yeah. And that often, I think, resonates with people better than you might think, because you don't have that internal sense of angst, because you're like, I don't really know this.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm bullshitting them and they can sense that. But if you say, hey, when I do this tricep extension, I do this and I feel it better, then they can try it. And you feel confident in that because you're not lying.
Yeah.
You're not BSing anybody.
Yeah. It's almost like those college students that are using AI to do their papers. It's an easy bullshit detector. You're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you didn't write this verbatim. Whereas opposed to like the person that's actually writing out the entire essay is going to understand things way better than the person that's just trying to read it from something they found online. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, I don't know. I feel the textbook feel to it, where you're like, yeah, like you could go nitty gritty into this, but it's like, how does it actually feel to a normal human being? That's where you're really going to find, oh, I feel it like this, and I can teach you what I felt, but I'm not going to really steer away from that because I did the movement. And it's like, if you're thinking of cues in your head on cueing yourself, mm-hmm. that's one, a hard thing to do, but like there's a lot of like good work in that, because I feel like anytime I'm stepping foot in this gym, I'm thinking of, okay, what am I actually feeling? Am I doing the exercise right? Like, I love to go as slow as I can on exercises. Like, the members know it, because I'm sitting there, especially on that arm, the arm program. I was like,
taking longer than everybody else, grinding.
Like, taking 2 minutes. Yep. Everyone's
your eyes twitching.
I'm like, but like, I just go so slow, and I love to just mentally, like, focus on what am I feeling? Where am I tensing up? If I put my elbow this way, am I going to feel it different? And I love to just experiment. Like, sometimes it's not like whatever the movement is, it's maybe different from your goal, and maybe you have to tweak it a little bit. And mm-hmm. especially for members that need those alternatives, you need to be able to pivot some way, shape, or form. Like, how am I going to use less knees in this exercise? How am I not going to be able to, like, someone has a broken, like, arm. Like, how do you compensate for that? Like, or a torn rotator cuff. Like, there's so many different things where, like, people will have different bodies that compensate differently every single time. And I think that's the cool part about my job, is like, I get to kind of I'm like a little guide for them. I'm like, okay, this doesn't work. Let's try this instead. And if that doesn't work, we have more backups, but try it a different way.
The willingness to be able to say that is, I think, really hard for some people, because they want to be right the first time. Mm-hmm. And if we've learned anything in the couple of years that we've had Strength Academy open, it's no matter how much book knowledge I thought I had before training hundreds of people day after day after day, mm-hmm. there are so many things that I thought were a certainty about strength training that when you put it into practice, or just certain exercises that you think work, man, the way that we've been exploring mobility and what we've had to learn, it's like, okay, well, static stretching doesn't seem to be working as well as we thought, but mm-hmm. you might read one article and think that static stretching is like the way to, or you might watch one yoga video and think that's the way to do it. Yeah. And there's just so many different ways that you have to go about things. And people respect you more when you say that you don't know.
Oh yeah.
And so I think you got to be able to say that to people's face. And it's really terrifying at first.
It is. It is.
How long did it take you to build up the confidence that you know, you come in here, you're a young guy, you're talking to people who are older than you, you have that fear that they might not trust you, you have that fear that you might not have enough knowledge to even trust yourself. Mm. How long of coaching day in and day out before you were kind of woke up and you said, I feel like I'm pretty good at this?
Well,
day two.
I was shadowing for about like 2 months. And then once I was able to like be like, hey, this class is mine, I can own it, and I I always love the idea of if I own it, I'm going to like that is if I own it, I have to make that the best thing in the world. And so I just put my feet forward and I was like, you know what? We're going to just keep going either way. And like I can see the responses on people's faces. Like I remember it was dynamic strength, our cardio circuit. And I was just like over the top. Cause you were like, all right, be over the top, like motivate people. And I went way too hard. And like, people were like, this guy does not shut yeah, up.
They're like okay, too okay. much.
A little bit too much. And so like, one, I love to have like other people's feedback, but like, I think it really took me about 4-ish months on my own to be like, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I get it. And that's like with
so seeing, not overnight.
Yeah, that was not overnight. It was with seeing like 15 people per class doing an exercise differently every time. And they have different like abilities with their body.
Different
like,
body
some
types.
Some aren't
going to
be able to do things that other people are. And like, I think that was... I think me also handing out like alternatives for things when I wasn't completely confident yet. Mm-hmm. That was hard for me and I made mistakes along the way, but I was definitely a lot better yeah. because of it.
And then, nobody's standing at the door right now trying to shame you for the mistakes you made a yeah, year ago. No. I think that's what kind of people think.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of the times people don't realize, oh, no one's even going to think twice about this. Like they're going to leave class. Not even think yeah. about it. And that's the crazy part where you're like, you can't be too caught up. What are they going to think? What are they going to think? Well, they're probably not even going to think about
it. Yeah, they're not thinking
really.
About you.
Yeah, no,
how often are you
like,
thinking about other people?
They're probably just trying to survive right now. So
you speaking to how you don't feel like you came into your own ownership of classes until they were yours. We've seen that with, I think, almost every coach. And it mm-hmm. reminds me of when we were interviewing Matresa on the podcast. She just mentioned her best advice for people who wanted to be personal trainers was be yourself. And I think there is that authenticity that is necessary
oh, yeah.
in your coaching style, because time after time, we see our new coaches succeeding and doing well, but it's not a full ownership. They're not fully coming out of their shell
yeah.
until their shadow coach, or especially if I'm in the room, if I'm not there. And mm-hmm. and it's weird because in our gym, I can sit out in the trailer and I can hear things and I can tell a difference in how the coaches start to coach if I'm not in the room, and it's better.
Yeah.
So you do have to find your own voice, I think, if you really want to be good, and you have to trust
yes.
that. Not that at the beginning you don't take from what other people do. I mean, when you first started, you probably tried to coach like you saw me coach.
Oh, yeah,
and maybe
100%.
You coach like you saw Matresa coach.
Yeah.
And you take bits and pieces from that and you kind of keep what you like.
Your own.
And then now, like, I couldn't coach the way DJ coaches.
Yeah, it's a,
and that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a different beast.
Yeah.
Like, and it's
I'd
like,
be exhausted.
I think about when, like, coaching like you're coaching, and it's like, you're very intricate about it. And I was like, oh, he wants me to be as detailed as I can. And then at some point, I realized I had to step back. So I was like, I'm giving these people way too much information in
yeah.
like this fast snippet of time where they have 10 exercises to look at. I'm like way too deep. I was just like, okay, I got to like chill out. And so sometimes simpler is better. Like,
oh,
I think a
yes.
lot of people overlook that too. It's like you're trying to explain an exercise that someone's never done before. You're not going to give them 7 different cues like as they're doing their first set. Like you need to like make it digestible. I think that's also a big thing for people that are trying to like learn how to be a personal trainer or a coach. It's like you need to be able to give what they need in digestible increments. Otherwise they're not going to understand it. It's going to be more mm-hmm. frustrating. And then it's like this negative attitude towards it where I'm like,
yeah.
all right, let's step back. I'm just going to give you 1 or 2 cues and then we'll like work on that. As soon as you solidify that, then we'll move on to the more intricate stuff. But for now, just
I've compared good coaching to almost like being a good bartender. Like the really good bartender that flits from table to table and stool to stool, mm-hmm. they are so direct because they have a lot of people to serve and they yeah. know exactly how to get to the point. They can maybe tell you a quick joke to get you to laugh and then they move yeah. on. And I think that's why group training is so important for the development of coaches, because you don't have the time in a class of 20 to take the time to be so intricate and complex and explain everything yeah. the way you know it. You become extremely efficient, which is often the better way for people to digest things. Yes. And it's just, you become simple out of necessity. And that's what makes you a great coach eventually.
And I think you just have to meet people where they're at. There's going to be athletes out there that are next level and they need that intricate stuff because they mm-hmm. already know it. But then there's also the average like mom that's just trying to come in and work out. That
yeah,
has no
just doesn't
want to
get
what
hurt.
Talking about what is there just because they're like, yep, I got to go. I got to be moving. I'm just going to do what you tell me to. And it's like, okay, you have to meet them.
I've had people stop me before and be like, I don't need to know all that. that's a real, okay, I talk too much.
Yeah.
DJ, I hate to break this off fast, but we have a hard stop today. And so this was excellent stuff. Yeah. What last pieces of advice do you have for anybody who wants to get into training, that wants to be like you, man? You just have all this yeah. confidence and this inspiration and this positive outlook on life at the ripe old age of 22.
Yeah.
22? Did I say that
23.
Right? 23. Right. Oh, man. I'm even undercutting you. Well, you look 22.
Oh, my God.
So, any last pieces of advice?
Well, one, I'd just say don't be like me. Be yourself. I think that's the biggest thing you can do is just be authentic. Whatever it is you're into. Like, I was telling everyone here, first Berserker Kazan just came out, and I've been chanting it all over. The first Berserker Kazan. But, like... like, just stuff like that, where I'm like,
yeah.
I'm doing what I'm going to do. Like, I just don't think there's anyone else out there like me because I'm so in my own lane. I'm not going to go, oh, I see what they're doing, and I'm going to copy it. Nah, I'm just going to do my thing, like, whatever.
And I can say confidently that's the number one thing that our members and us as a staff love most about you is that yeah. I've never met anybody like you, and you are always 100% you, and it's mm-hmm. just, it's what attracts us to you and makes us excited to show up and be with you every day.
Yeah.
Guys, you can find DJ at Motivational Deej on Instagram. Yeah. He always posts his rants in his car, motivational rants. You can find us at Strength Academy RF on Instagram, at Strength Academy 101 on all of our other platforms. Please leave us a review on the podcast or hit the subscribe button so that you get updates on our next podcast, because we only got more good stuff coming for you. That's Strength 101. Peace out.